Chapter Yud, chapter 10, pasuk 30. Vayomer Hashem el Yehu. I'm just going to try and read. I say this every few weeks, you know, we're just going to try and cover ground. I'm going to try and do that. Because, you know, before you know it, we're going to turn around, the year is going to come to an end, and then you're going to wonder, what have we learned this year? Vayomer Hashem el Yehu. Hashem said to Yehu. By the way, whenever it says a pasuk of this sort, it always means via a prophet. It doesn't mean that God spoke directly to Yehu. God, through a prophet, said to Yehu.
Did God speak directly to the prophet?
Of course, God speaks directly to the prophet. But even when I say that God speaks directly to the prophet, so of course we once learned that there's a difference between all prophets and Moshe Rabbeinu. With the term to speak directly to the prophet could best be used only with regard to Moshe. Because God spoke to Moshe, panim el panim, face to face, peh el peh adaber bo, mouth to mouth I speak to him. Kashe yedaber ish et reyehu. The pasuk says, God says that I speak to him as a man speaks to his friend. But all other prophets received prophecy while either in a dream, in a vision, always in a trance-like state. In other words, the Navi did not receive prophecy as he's walking around the course of the day. He went into a trance-like state, and that's why the Navi was called Meshuga, because it may have looked like something like an epileptic state, and then the prophecy comes to him. Only to Moshe Rabbeinu did the Rabbeinu Shem speak in a manner, pel peh, yes? It has nothing to do with Vayadaber or Vayomer. What it has to do with is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam says it, and the Rambam takes it from the Pesukim at the end of Parashat Palotcha, that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was different than all other prophets. All other prophets, God would appear to them either in a dream, or while they were in this trance-like state, they would begin to shudder and tremble. All sorts of things would happen. It was a major upheaval, a physical upheaval for the Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu, we spoke to directly. Yes.
Before Moshe,
always chalom. The others, you're asking the same thing. Always chalom, always a dream. To the point, of course, I'll take you even to the point of Avram Avinu, the great machlokas between the Rambam and the Rabban. The Rambam in Moran Avuchim says the whole story of the three angels that came to Avram was all a dream. How do you like that? You've been learning all along that these three Arabs who are really angels came to him. There's a whole conversation, and they eat tongue, and they eat the cheese, and they get... Says the Rambam, all of this was a chalom, a dream. Don't ask me any kashas. I'm telling you. And even by Yaakov, for example, it says, when he's on his way to Mitzrayim, God appeared to him b'chalom b'chezion laila, in a dream, a vision at night. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their prophecy they received in precisely the same way that all other prophets received prophecy, which was through dream, during sleep, in a trance-like state. But the Navi knew that this was God. For example, give you the best example. Shmuel is a young boy, and he is in the house of God, and he hears a voice, Shmuel, Shmuel, and he wakes up, but he doesn't know yet that this is prophecy. It's only by the third time that he finally has the courage to say, God, speak unto me. It came in a dream. The pasuk here doesn't tell us who was the Navi. Chazal tell us that the Navi was Yonah ben Amittai. Yonah ben Amittai, therefore, we now know already two prophecies of Yonah ben Amittai. He was the one who anointed Yehu. He was the Meshuggah that came into the camp to the officer headquarters in Gilad, and he's the one who anoints Yehu. Vayomer Hashem el Yehu. Hashem said to Yehu, Yah, and Hashem had tivo salah, so say Yoshamein, since you have done that which was correct in my eyes, Gichol Hashem Bilvavi, everything that was with my heart, Osita, everything that my heart wanted, Osita Lebeit Achav, you did to the house of Achav, I therefore promise you, B'nei Devi'im Yeshu L'chal Kisei Yisrael, four generations of kings shall sit upon the throne of Israel, we're going to see that they will be Yehoahaz, Yehoash, a Yerobam, and a Zechariah. But we will see. And some of them are going to be extremely important. V'yehu lo shomer lo lechet b'torat Hashem olkei yisod d'chol avavo. Yehu was not careful to keep the way of God, the Torah of God, with his whole heart. Lo sorme al chatos Yerobam, he didn't turn away from the sins of Yerobam, asher hecheti et Yisrael, who had caused Israel to sin. And the fact is that when it finally came down to it, all of the kings of Israel continued the sins of Yerobam for precisely the same reason that Yerobam established them. Why did Yerobam make the calves, the power, but it was more than that. So that Yerushalayim should not be the focus. Because if Jews are going to go be all the regals to Yerushalayim, they are going to see the greatness of the house of David. He can't commit that. Yehu too. Once he, you know, makes all sorts of promises until he rises to power. And then of course he sees what will happen in the event that Jews are going to go to Yerushalayim. So during his days they still had the checkpoint jollies that Jews should not be able to go to Yerushalayim. What do you mean, if Hashem split the Malchut? Did I say that? If Hashem split the Malchut? First of all, you're on the wrong side. You're on my left. And that's what happens when you move from my right to my left. Yes?
It was Rehavam
was told by Nebuchadnezzar
that he was going to be sitting on the
Malchut,
and the
whole paper with
the Ruach, the splitting of the
Malchut. He was told that he was going to be sitting on... What does that mean? Yes, there was a Nebuah, Achia Hashilonu told Yerobam ben Nevat that he's going to have 10 of the tribes.
Now, if it was going to be according to Nebuchadnezzar, a splitting of the tribes...
...that must be fulfilled is a prophecy that is positive. A negative prophecy can always be changed. And by the way, we have been pointing out throughout our study of Malachi that even after the splitting of the kingdom, if the two would have been able to work together, if Yehuda and Yisrael would have been able to work together, it would have been in place of one kingdom. Not the best, but it would also have worked. And that's what Yehoshaphat wanted to do, and others wanted to do. Yes?
I think there's a semantic problem, because I think the splitting of the kingdom wasn't a question of the rule, it was a question of punishment.
All right, she says Nevuah, you say punishment, and I say that it's free choice. People can make mistakes, and when we make mistakes, we pay for it. Yeah. What's your problem?
Shlomo is told
it's as a punishment,
okay,
yes.
Wait a minute, but the next part, that's negative.
Yes.
And the next part, so she says, okay,
I will not, in order to that one tribe should remain with.
Okay, but that means 10 away.
It didn't have to be. It still doesn't have to be.
No, because if he doesn't.
Because if you do tshuva, that's it. That's it. A negative prophecy never has to be fulfilled. A negative prophecy is always conditional. They don't do tshuva. They don't change. What do you think? Yirmiyahu is told that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Should it have to be destroyed? Of course not. He keeps telling them, shuvu banim shovavim v'shav v'ulavavo yavin v'shav v'rafal. The whole thing is an attempt to get Jews to do tshuva. They would have done tshuva. It would have been otherwise.
Well, it happened in Ninveh.
Yes, it happened in Ninveh.
So they could have been two Malchuyot.
Yes.
But Jerusalem is the focus, and it could have worked.
I don't know.
Without all
the
devoted Zarpas, it's saying we have no
option,
there's no other way.
Uh-huh. But he said, the Pasuk says, what did I miss something? What did you say?
I said.
What did you say? Huh? I don't even think in political terms. I don't understand what.
I don't either. I just wanted to make it clear.
Yes. But Yerushalayim was clearly the focus. Yerushalayim was clearly the focus. Malchei Yisrael could not permit Yerushalayim to be central to Jewish life. You understand the tragedy of Malchus Yisrael? That's why the pasuk here says, "V'yehu lo shama lelechet v'torach Hashem v'legei Yisrael v'chol lo sor me'achatos yirolam." And Rashi says that he did it for the same reason that Yerovam had done. If the focus is Yerushalayim, then he's going to be a king of a second class king, and the first class king is going to be the king of Yehuda. If millions of Jews are going to go three times a year to Yerushalayim, and only one person of all of Klal Yisrael is permitted to sit on the Har HaBayit, one, and that's the Malchei Beis David. So Yehu would stand, while whoever is the king of Yehuda would be sitting. I mean, it was an impossible situation. So therefore, even a Yehu, who destroyed idolatry, but the Agolim in Don and Bethel remain. This is an extremely important pasuk, because this is a pasuk that is already one of the pivotal psukim in Malachim Bet. By Yom HaMahim, in those days, Heichel Hashem l'katzot b'Yisrael, God began to cut ends off Israel. I'm afraid to say it was sort of the salami, the tachnit hashlavim. Huh? I didn't pin him out. All right. I would say better shlavim. That little by little, Eretz Yisrael is going to lose its land to the enemy around. It's going to begin step by step, stage by stage. Heichal Hashem katzot b'Yisrael. Vayakem Chazael b'chol gul Yisrael. Chazael, who was the king of Aram, and who had anointed him? He had been anointed by Elisha, and the first one who was told to anoint Chazael was Eliyahu, but he never did it, and it was Elisha who did it. Chazael is the one who begins the process of eroding the borders of Eretz Yisrael. And it begins min ha-yardein mizrach ha-shemesh, from the Yardin to the east. That's where it begins. It called Eretz HaGilad, the land of Gilad, Gadi, Ruveni, and Menashe. God, Ruveni, Menashe. May Aroer Asher al Nachal Arnon, from the city Aroer, which is near the river Arnon. Vaha Gilad, Vaha Bashan. In other words, talking from the Golan all the way down. The first ones that are going to be sent into exile are going to be the tribes of Ruven, Gad, and Heth tribe of Menashe. And that is even pointed out yet by the Medrash back in Sefer Bamidbar at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. They are the ones who chose to remain outside of central Eretz Israel. They remained on the east side of the Jordan. Why did they remain on the east side of the Jordan? Says the Gemara, because of their wealth. And on them the Medrash says, Yesh Osher Shomer LeBa'alav LeRa'ah. There is wealth that is ultimately a source of destruction for the wealthy. I know my wife always says, don't you always say that being poor, we're freer than those who are wealthy?
Not too poor.
Oh, okay. There are people who are wealthy that they simply can't leave where they are. They have to take care of their wealth to be able to be not too poor. And therefore you have greater options, you have greater freedom, you can pick yourself up. What did we leave in America? We left nothing in America.
Prisoners of their assets.
Prisoners of their assets. We didn't have any assets, and we sold the house when it was at its lowest. $500,000. That's right. Right. So what they want... Yeah, I don't want to hear. Listen, it used to make me cry. Now it doesn't make me cry anymore. Nah, it's just money. Yeah, it makes no difference. Whenever I would have
sold, it would have been at the bottom of the market. The Yeter Divrei Yehu and the rest of the words of Yehu, v'chol asher osa, v'chol gvurato, all that he did and all his great strength. Now, it's very fascinating in the summation of the life of Yehu. There's positive and negative back and forth. Because he is an ambivalent character. He does great things, but at the same thing that he does great things, he does not achieve perfection. And you just feel it in the psukim. There is the ebb and the flow, the back and the forth. It doesn't say about many of the kings of Israel. I don't, for that matter, I don't want to make one of my, you know, one of my grandiose statements over here. I don't know how many, it doesn't say Gevura by many of the kings. That, you know, I was getting ready to make one of my statements like, no place in all of Tanakh does it say. No, it's not so. But it does not say it often. Halohen Ketuvim al Sefer Tirei Ayom al-Malchi Yisrael, this is written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Ayishkav Yehu v'Mavotav. Here already remember, we are also using the kind of terminology that is reserved for those who were tzaddikim. Even though lo sar michol kol chatot yirofam. Vayishkav Yehu Marvotav, Yehu lay with his fathers, Vayikru Oto b'Shamron, Vayimlov, he was buried in Shamron, and his son Yehu Ochaz becomes king in his place. Vayomim Hashem Olach Yehu HaYisrael Esrim Ushmona Shona b'Shamron. That in and of itself is also a tremendous accomplishment. Not many kings ruled for a period of 28 years. Most of the Malchi Yisrael ruled less. All right. I'm not going to make a summation of all of this. We're going to, the scene now is going to switch to, the scene is going to switch to Malchus Yehuda. In other words, there are all sorts of things that we have to sum up, but I'm not today. Today, nothing. Okay. Atayahu. Ein Achazyahu. Atayahu, the mother of Achazyahu. Remember, we're talking now about Achazyahu. We're going back a chapter. Yehu had killed two kings. He killed Yehoram, king of Israel, and he also killed Achazyahu, who was king of Yehuda. Ataliyahu, the mother of Achazyahu, saw she made Bina that her son had died, Vatokam Vata'abed et Kol Zera HaMamlacha. She arose and she destroyed the entire family of Malchus Beis David. Understand? Yehuda. Ataliyahu is the mother of Achazyahu, king of Yehuda. She is the daughter of Achav and Izebel. She's the daughter of Achav and Izebel, but she had married the son of Yehoshaphat, king of Yehuda. She destroys the whole family. There's a little but over here, and this little but is extremely important. Somebody survives. She destroys everybody. In a sense, let's not lose, I'm not here to justify what Ataliyahu did. Ataliyahu is a marsha'at of the worst order. But in a sense, what she is doing is the family of the king of Yehuda are also the family of Achav and Izebel. Remember, the family of Achav and Izebel that are to be destroyed by Yehu included not only those who were in Israel, but the family of Malchus Yehuda were also from the family of Achav and Izebel. Ataliyahu. Ataliyahu is the daughter of Achav and Izebel. She destroys the whole family. Vatikach Yehosheva, Bat HaMelech Yoram, Achot Achazyahu. Yehosheva, she's the one, Yehosheva, who's the daughter of King Yoram, the sister of Achazyahu. Achazyahu, let's get the name straight. Achazyahu was the king of Yehuda who had been killed by Yehu.
1 year.
Ataliyahu, yes. Ataliyahu, 1 or 2 years. Ataliyahu was his mother. Achazyahu has been killed. Achazyahu had gone down to Yisrael in order to visit Yoram, who, remember, king of Israel, who is his mishpacha, and that's when Yehu comes riding hard from Gilad. He shoots an arrow and he gets Yoram, and then he goes after Ahaziah and he kills Ahaziah too. Ahaziah doesn't die immediately, but he is brought to Yerushalayim after he dies.
Did that tie his daughter?
Oh.
Now he was the daughter of
Yoram. No.
She was the sister of
Very good. The forest that I have over here says that Yehosheva was most probably the sister of Ahaziah from another mother. And that Josephus says that she is from another mother. So there's Yehosheva. This Yehosheva, who's the daughter of King Yoram, who's the sister of Ahaziah, who had been killed. She took Yoash ben Ahaziah. There's one little baby. She take her nephew. All the rest of the family are in the process of dying. Now watch. She stole him out from amongst the sons of the king. Hamumatim. Rashi and a number of the Mepharshim say it here and in Divrei Hayamim. They're in the process of dying. It was not she poisoned them. And she takes, Yehosheva takes this little Yoash. She took him, Meinikto, and his wet nurse, the Chadar HaMitot, and put them in the room of the beds. We'll see right away what that is. Vayastiru otom ifnei Ataliyahu, they concealed him from before Ataliyahu, v'lo humat, and he wasn't killed. Ataliyahu doesn't know that there is one single solitary remaining soul to the house of David. Do you know what this becomes? Another link, or another near end of a link in the chain of Malchus Beis David. How many other times does this happen? When Tamar is being taken out to be burned at the stake, Yehuda says, burn her, right? Who's on the way to die at the stake? You know who's on the way to die at the stake? Malchus Beis David. Well, I should take you back one step further. Lot and his daughters are being hurried out of Sodom and Amorah before the death is to rain down on Sodom and Amorah. Everybody's holding I always describe what's happening with the Malachim in heaven. They're all holding their breath, because who's fleeing from the total destruction of Sodom and Amorah? Malchus Beis David. One of those daughters is going to be the grandmother of Ruth HaMoaviah. Ruth HaMoaviah is going to marry Boaz. So there, number one, coming out of, escaping from Sodom before death rains down upon it. Malchus Beis David. Tamar is going to the stake. Malchus Beis David. By the way, you know what we lose sight of? There's a terrible story that we don't have all of the details of. When David was fleeing from before Shaul, he left his family, his parents, and the rest of his family with the king of Ammon. And they were all slaughtered. It really means that David was the only one who remained alive from the from his family. Terrible tragedy. That the only one, of course, I've always pointed out the marriage of Ruth and Boaz. Boaz dies the following morning. Which means at that point in time, there is nobody to Malchus Beis David. Except, of course, that Ruth doesn't know it, but she's pregnant. So the one child that emerges then is Oved, who is born, is Malchus Beis David. It means Malchus Beis David, there are moments in its history when it hangs by a thread. Here is one of the clearest ones of all. There's nobody left except for little Yoash. And they hide him Chazal say, where was this cheder amitot? It was in the Bet HaMikdash. They hid him in the Bet HaMikdash. This child is going to be raised in concealment and confinement, in quarantine. We were talking about the terrible, frightening tragedies. Do you understand what Yehoshaphat the Zeder had entered into an alliance with the house of Ahav because he wanted to raise and lift the house of Ahav. What he ended up doing was nearly destroying entirely his own house. In other words, you have to be very, very careful when it comes to being Mekarev Rechokim, because by being Mekarev Rechokim, by trying to bring close those who are distant, you may very well destroy yourself. By he, Tobet Hashem, he was, Yahush was with her in the house of God, mitchabei, hiding, sheish shanim, v'ataliyam olechet al ha'aretz. She's the first queen. Ataliyah rules over the land, u'bashona ha'shviyat, the seventh year, sholach Yehoyada, v'yikach et sorei ha'meot, what's going to be, what he's preparing now, Yehoyada is the Kohen Gadol. I don't think his name was mentioned yet. He is the husband of Yehosheva. Yehosheva is married to Yehoyada. The Kohen Gadol, Yehosheva, is the one who took the little baby out from amongst the dying in Pasuk 2. Yehoyada prepares now what's really going to be the rebellion, the coronation of the little boy, and the destruction of Ataliyahu. He called the Sorei HaMeot, the officers of hundreds, La Kori V'La Rotzim. The Kori and the Rotzim represent palace guard. I don't know what the English translation says, but these are the Sayeret Ramatkal. These are special groups of soldiers. He brought them unto him into the house of God. He made a covenant with them. He made them swear, take an oath in the house of God, in the Beis Hamikdash. He showed them the son of the king. These are the first ones. The officers, the army is being brought onto the side of the king. This is what Yehoyada is doing. He shows them the king. And he commanded them, saying, "Zehadovar Hashem Tasun, this is what you should do." Hashlishit mikem voei hashabbat mishomdei mishmeret Beit Hamelech. A third of you, they're going to be divided into three. Voei hashabbat, that refers to the Kohanim and Leviim. There would be a changing of the guard of Kohanim and Leviim on Shabbos. Every week there was another group of Kohanim and Leviim that served in the Bet HaMikdash, and they would serve until after Shacharit on Shabbos, and for Musaf, the new group of Kohanim and Leviim who are going to serve for the rest of the week would come. That means the changing of the guard took place on Shabbos. There were the Ba'ei, Shomrei Mishmeret Beit HaMelech, those who guarded the house, and there were those who guarded the house of the king. V'Hashlishit B'Shar Sur, and a third should be at Shar Sur. All sorts of shatim on what Shar Sur is. Chazal say it was the eastern gate of the Harabayim, the eastern gate of the Bet HaMikdash. Bashlishit, Bashar, Achar HaRotzim, and then there was another third that was at another gate behind the runners. Ushmartem et Mishmeret Habayit Masach. He orders them that they are to watch and guard the Bet HaMikdash. Masach means without interruption. Let nothing take you away from what you have to do. Ushtei ha'yadot behem, and two parts of you, kol yotzei ha'shabbat, those who are supposed to leave on Shabbat. The changing of the guard, the guards that are supposed to leave are going to remain. And they're going to watch the house of God El Hamelech on behalf of the king. They're already talking about this child who's 7 years old at the time. He is the king. He kaftem al Hamelech soviv, You should surround the king. Ish v'kelav v'yado, each man with his weapons in his hand. Weapons drawn. They're going to be two phalanxes. Was that a good word? And anybody who's going to want to cross into that area is to be put to death immediately. They're going to be guarding the king on all sides. They should be with the king, but say tohu b'vohu when he goes out, when he comes in. The officers of 100 did exactly what Yehoyada the Kohen had commanded them. Now, I have all sorts of questions here, but I'm not going to go into the questions, because if I go into the questions, we're never going to kriach out of it. I only said it because there's Sarah, you know, because I know. In other words, it's only in Pasuk 4 that we find out that there's a fellow by the name of Yehoyada who's given instructions. He's not referred to as Yehoyada HaKohen. Only now are we let in on the secret that he is Yehoyada HaKohen. Why wasn't he called Yehoyada HaKohen before? And in this Pasuk... you're starting trouble already with Divrei Hayom? There will be. I gave you... All right, okay. But here, we don't find out until... Pasuk 9. The Sarei Amed did exactly what Yehoyada HaKohen commanded. Each one of the officers of hundreds took his people. Bo'ei HaShabbat. Those who are coming in to serve on Shabbat. Im Yotzei HaShabbat. In other words, everybody's going to remain. Those who leave on Shabbat are not leaving. Everybody's staying, because that way they can have the largest number of people in the Beit HaMikdash without necessarily giving away that something is happening. In other words, because there are those who are leaving and those who are coming, if they all stay, then you have a large number of Kohanim, Levim, and officers there. No. 7 years, they've kept the secret for 7 years. Levim. Yeah, but it's a little, it is a shtickle problematic. I mean, they didn't check, they didn't, huh? Because Atayahu is a marshas. Atayahu is a foreigner, she's a stranger. They want to rid Klal Yisrael of Atayahu. And here there's a genuine member of the house, a living member of the house of David, a real king. Yes, there's a real king, her grandson, right? Of course they want to get rid of Ataliyahu. Ataliyahu is a marshas. Wait a minute, who killed the whole family of Beis David? Well, you think they want her to be queen? Why did they let her? Yeah, what do you mean? How did they let her? So you'll ask around history how Akash of history, Akash every tyrant, yes, every tyrant. What? And what about we're 3,500 years later, 3,000 years later? How many countries in the world have tyrants? What about Assad? And Saddam and Gaddafi and the Mickey Mouse Hussein. I mean, what? They're all killers. For sure. Yes. No, that has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Yehosheva was a tzaddikus. Yehoyada was a tzaddik. This is the underground, the lechi, the etzel. It has nothing to do with halacha over here. What it has to do is there were courageous people who did courageous things at the right moment. Nobody's concerned over here about the niceties of halacha. Yehosheva Pashit saves a child from amongst the dead. the last member of the house of David. It has nothing to do with the halach. And Yehoyada the Kohen, they are going to bring down a talion. Vayiten akoron zorei ameot et hachanit vet hashlatim asher omer lo David, the Kohen. Now I think this pasuk is very important. There had been swords and shields that had been stored in the Beis Hamikdash yet from the time of David. It means there were not weapons to be gotten. You couldn't walk into a store and pick up an Uzi. They had to be concerned about where they were going to get enough weapons for all of the and others. Atayahu was ruling with an iron fist.
Part of the army
certainly must have been loyal. I'm sure that Yehoyada and Yehosheva must have figured out carefully who are the people that they can trust. By Yichrot Lehem Brit, they made a covenant. I mean, they took an oath in the Beit Hashem. And by the way, taking an oath within the confines of the Beit Hashem was not something that a person took lightly. You didn't make an oath b'shem Hashem in the house of in the Beit HaMikdash and not take it seriously. I mean, of course, they're taking all of the precautions. And now already the number of people that know and have seen the king. We were talking about a major plot. He gave them the spears of Hashlatim and the shields, Hashem of David, that were David's, Asher b'Beit Hashem, that were in the house of God, Vayamdu haratzen, Ish v'kelo b'yado, the runners, that means the couriers, yes, with their weapons in hand, miketaf habayit hayemanit, ketaf habayit hasmalit, from one end of the house, the Beit HaMikdash, from the right until the left, in fact, is according to many of the Mefarshim, this Chadar Hamitot, the bed room, was really above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the attic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The chances that anybody would ever come there, a place where only a Kohen Gadol went in on Yom HaKippurim, nobody would go there. They kept the child in the place most secret in the Beit HaMikdash. And that, right in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is the Ulam, the hall, and then comes the Mizbeach, and outside over there, all of the soldiers are lined up. They took out the son of the king, Vayitein Olavet HaNezer. He placed upon his head the crown, the Et HaEdut. The Eidut is the Sefer Torah. A king had to have a Sefer Torah that went with him wherever he went. This little boy, they made him king, and they anointed him. The Gemara says the following. The halacha is, Ein Moshin Ela Malchei Beit David. The only ones who are anointed with oil are the kings of the house of David. And even the kings of the house of David, only mipnei hamachloket, only when there was a machloket, which means the following. Anyone who is a natural, normal descendant of the house of David, and there's no question about his becoming king, becomes king without necessity of any kind of anointing. Who was anointed? David, of course, is anointed because he is the first one. And who anoints him? Shmuel anoints him. Shlomo HaMelech is taken down to Gichon and is anointed there because there's the rebellion of Adoniyahu. So whenever there is a question or a doubt or a machloket about the king, then the king has to be anointed. Over here we're talking about not simply a machloket, we're talking about a kingdom that had been usurped and stolen, so therefore he has to be anointed. By all of the other kings, it didn't say that Yerovam was anointed, or Asa was anointed, or Yehoshaphat, or Yehoram, or Ahazio. None of them were anointed because there was never any question or doubt, and nobody threatened or questioned their malchus. The only time when Malchei Beis David were anointed, was when there was some kind of question about their about the lineage, or does somebody raise questions about the malchus altogether? In whose name? All of the names have significance. The only thing is, you're asking more than that. I know what you're asking. You want to know if there's anything in his name that would indicate what was going to happen in his lifetime. Now, remember, most of them had the name of God in their names. Yehoram, God is Ram. Achaz, Yo, he holds on to God. All of them, this is the kind of names that they have. I just, you know, if they would have been, no, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Simply the halacha does not require. I'll tell you what the Mepharshim say about his name. About the name of Yoash, they say the following. I don't like this. One in Aramaic, that the word ush in Aramaic means to give. Yehoash, God gave. That's one shot. There's another, Hashem Yesh, God exists. God Yesh. I mean, so really his whole name is the name and the essence of God. But that was all of that's way the kind of names that they gave. All right, we have to finish Pasuk Yud-Bet. By Yaku Chof, by Yomru. In other words, they all started clapping and they said Yechi Hamelech. I don't know. If you get a jet lag, Batishma Taya. Atayah heard et kol harotzin ha'am. She hears the noise of people movement of people. She doesn't know what has happened. But tavoil ha'am beit Hashem, she came to the people of the house of God. But teda, and she saw v'hinei. Hinei, as we always pointed out, v'hinei means surprise. Suddenly, yes, ha'melech omeid hal ha'amud, the king is standing on the dais. Kamishpat, the way a king should stand, the place where a king should be. And the officers, and there are the trumpets. You can imagine the blasts of the trumpets. And all of the people are happy. And people are blowing the trumpets. And Atalia rent her garments. She called out, Kesher, kosher. A rebellion. Kesher is when people bond together in order to bring down the government. Now, conspiracy. Yes, yes, I have to explain how does the word conspiracy come to Kesher? Because when people bond together in order to do something, this is a... Now, isn't there something interesting? What did her mother do? Isabel. No. What happens when Yehu comes riding into Shomron? Yeah, but what did she do before she came to the window? She fixed her hair, she put on makeup, you understand? And you know, there's a complete the cunning, and I'm even ready to use the word dignity. Ezebel was a master of evil. Yes, she is able to maintain her cool when she's about to lose her head, and while everybody else around her is losing their heads, she remains to the end cool, in the hope that she may yet turn Yehu's head. But Ataliyahu sees that it's all over by Yitzhak. Yehoyada the Kohen commanded at Sorei Ameos, the officers of the hundreds, Pekudei HaChayel, those who were appointed as part of the army, by Yom Ruei Aleim, they said to her, Hotziu Ota El Mibet Lasedeirot, remove her from behind, from within the phalanxes, V'habo Achareha, and whoever comes after her, In other words, anybody who's going to join with Ataliyahu in order to stand with her, Hamed Bechorev, put him to death by the sword. Ki Omar HaKohen al Tumat Beit Hashem, because the Kohen had said nobody's to be put to death within the confines of Beit Hashem. They're to be removed from the Beit HaMikdash. Vayosimu lo yadayim. It means sort of the army, the soldiers made place for her to go out. She had come to the Beit Hashem and she sees what's happening. She tears her garments and she says, "Kesher, Kesher, there's been a conspiracy." They sort of let her walk out. She came to the place where there was something that joined the palace of the king to the Beit HaMikdash, where the horses would come through, and from there they went from the Beit HaMikdash to the house of to the palace. But Tumat Shaman, she was put to death there. So ended the tragic story of Ataliyahu. Vayichrod Yehoyada. Now what begins is the rebuilding of Klal Yisrael. So we're talking a period of destruction, a period in which terrible, terrible things happened, and now begins the reconstruction of Klal Yisrael. Vayichrod Yehoyada et habrid bein Hashem ubein Hamelech ubein Ha'am. Yehoyada made a covenant between God, the king, and the people. Lihiyot la'am la'Hashem, that they should be a people unto God. And bein ha'melech u'bein ha'am. In other words, there is a treaty that takes place between God and the people, between the king and the people. And every time one of these things happens, there is a cleansing and a purification of Eretz Yisrael. Vayavo kol ha'am ha'aretz beit ha'baal, and all of the people of the land came to the house of Baal, vayitzuhu, and they shattered and destroyed it, et mizbechotav, that slamav, shibru heitev, the altars and the statues, they shattered well, that matan kohen ha'baal hargu lifnei ha'mizbechot. Matan is the name of the kohen ha'baal. Matan kohen ha'baal, they killed lifnei ha'mizbechot right in front of the altars. Vayosam ha'kohen pekudot al beit Hashem. And the Kohen that he's talking now, Yehoyada had appointed pekudot, people that who are going to be in charge of the house of God. In other words, there's still possibility of people, some kind of resistance. There may yet be resistance, so therefore he appoints soldiers who are in charge of the Beit Hashem. Vayikach et zorei ha'meot v'et ha'kori v'et ha'rotzim v'et kol am ha'oretz v'yoridu et ha'melech mi'beit Hashem v'yovohu derech shar ha'rotzim beit ha'melech v'yeshev al kisei ha'melachim. What he does now is he's taking the king from the Beit HaMikdash to the palace, but the king is going to be accompanied from Beit HaMikdash to palace with the zorei ha'meot, the kori, who are one of the elite units, the runners. The runners are really something like the palace guard that Kol Am Haaretz, and all of the people are following, and they brought the king down Mibet Hashem. This is all one day. It's all one day. This is all taking place in a matter of hours. Yeah, Vayoridu, and of course Vayoridu is because, as the Gemara says, just like Eretz Yisrael is Gavoah, Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the lands. Eretz Yisrael is the highest. Yerushalayim is the highest point of Eretz Yisrael, and Har Habayit is the highest point of Yerushalayim. So therefore, it says, "Vayoridu." They brought the king down. Mibet Hashem. Vayavo derech shar haratzin beit hamelach. They came through the gate of the runners of the palace guard to the palace. Vayeshev al kisei hamelachim, and he sat upon the throne of the kings. Vayismach kol am haaretz. And all of the people were happy for Ha'ir Shakota, and the city was silent. In other words, the expected rioting did not come. Ha'ir Shakota, Bet Ataliyahu, Heimitu Bacherev, Beit Hamelech, and Ataliyahu had been put to death by sword in the palace. Then Sheva Shalim Yehoash B'molcho Yeho. Now begins the story of Yehoash, who was her. I know what she's asking. Why did they repeat it again? Why did they repeat it again? There is a style in Tanakh, and here it's important. Klal and Prat Acharov, which means the following: sometimes a general statement will be made, but the details will be left out, and the details will come later. There's Klal, the general statement, and then afterwards will come the Prat, the details. All that it said before was really that they did not kill her, they were not going to kill her within the confines of the Beit HaMikdash. They moved aside and she went out. Now we are told where indeed she was killed, which was in the Beit HaMelech, in the palace. Huh? Let's see. Because there was derech mevo. In other words, all that it said over there is in which direction she is going. There are a lot of exits to the Beis HaMikdash. She is in the exit. No, she's really going back the way she came in. The road that leads, or the gate that leads from the palace, but it didn't say that she was killed in the palace.
It doesn't say there that she was killed by the sword.
No. No. Beit HaMelech is the description of the path that she is on. She came in onto the road of the horses that go to the Beit HaMelech, but it doesn't, Batumah Shom doesn't tell me where she was killed. On the road, in the Beit HaMelech. Beit HaMelech is the description of the road.
No, but there's more than that, because it doesn't say that she was killed by the
sword. That's sure. Now we're being told two things. It was by the sword, and it was in the palace. In other words, they let her make her way all the way to the palace. They didn't kill her on the... I don't know. Then nobody knows.
It could also be...
I don't know. The way I read the Pesukim is that certainly one thing, and I believe two things, are told to us now that weren't told before. That she was put to death by the sword and in the palace. Before, they were talking about her being permitted to go. It also means something else. She was not killed in the way that Yzevel was killed. Yzevel was killed in a much uglier way. She was thrown down from the... Yehu had looked up over there. He told the people who were around her, Shimtuha, throw her down, and they threw her down, and she splattered down below. All right.
Now, there's another thing. In Pet Zion,
yeah,
when it ends Batumat Shem, it may come to tell you that she was walking through the path and they weren't letting her go free.
Yeah, that's right. Batumat Shem there could have been understood as her being killed on the road. The pasuk at the end of the parak says, "No, it was the Bet HaMelech."
No, but it also is a sign that they weren't letting her go free by walking on the road.
Right. Okay.
But
true.
It doesn't say the Bet HaMelech.
That's good enough.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean it was inside the house.
Then the word Bet HaMelech is not only superfluous. The word Bet HaMelech are misleading. If so, then all it should have said, Bet HaTalyohu Hemitu Bacheret. Yeah, I was expecting somebody else to ask why the hay isn't there. I didn't raise it because I don't know.
Huh?
What did you say? I know the... Yeah. Now, there must be a reason. Why isn't the hay written?
It says in the Royal Palace commentary, it says literally the king's house. Since the king's house had dispatched her, there was no one to seek revenge. As strange as though, so the royal family would have sought to avenge her death.
What he's saying over there is that's really an explanation of Ir Shakota, that the city was quiet. It means they had expected that those close to Atayahu would put up a resistance, and nothing happened. They knew that they had lost the day and it was all over. Now the fact is, you know, 2 weeks ago when we started learning Perek, we came to Perek Yud Aleph. I had really wanted to get through Perek Yud Aleph till here, because the beginning of Yud Bet, Ben Shev Ashanim Yehoash V'molcho, Yehoash was 7 years old when he became king. This was the Haftorah for Shabbos Shkolin. It was the Haftorah 2 weeks ago, and you know, silly me, I thought that we would be able to get through all of this, but I have so much to say on these on this last chapter. I'm just not in the comes to kayach. Let's learn another few minutes. Let's begin the next chapter, and I'll fill in everything that has to be filled in Yirtzeh Hashem next week. When will we have time to prepare the shiur next week? I don't know. Remember, there's the Purim Sunday, huh? The big question is, how will I prepare a shiur for Tuesday morning, the parasha shiur? All right. Mishnat Sheva LeYehu Malach Yehoash, in the seventh year of Yehu, Yehoash became king. Barboim Shana Malach Yerushalayim, 40 years he was king in Yerushalayim. V'shem Imo, the name of his mother was Tzivya. Tzivya mi Be'er Sheva. Without it? A tzivka. Tziv yami Be'er Sheva. Huh? They call you Tzvika? Oh, no. Yes? Yeah, he is either Yoash or Yehoash, and this is done throughout. Yoram or Yehoram. You know what I think it is? Talk about the difference between the Fruma and the not Fruma. The Fruma left out the hay.
Oh,
that's a different story.
Is that the same thing with all the hay?
I'm not sure. I think it does. The question is, let's see if it changes. If it doesn't change, then the fact that he has now become king, he is Yehoash. Otherwise, what did they call him? Mustarka? Let's see. Yoash. Very good. All right. Vayas Yehoash Hayosha Ben Hashem Kol Yomav Asher Horohu Yehoyada HaKohen. Now, there is a little bit of a qualifying statement over here. First, it says that he did that which was correct in the eyes of God all of his days. Asher Horohu, that Yehoyada HaKohen taught him. Which means, what happens after the death of Yehoyada HaKohen? Not good. He will stray following the death of his Rebbe. Rak habamos lo saru. Od ha'om is zabchinu mekaterim babamot. The problem in Yisrael were the calves in Dan and Bethel. In Yehuda, the problem was Bamot. Bamot were high places where people, altars where people brought sacrifices to the Chabani Shalom. But once there was a Beis HaMikdash, they were prohibited. You weren't allowed to. Od Ham and Zadchum and Mekatim and Bamas, the people still brought sacrifices and incense on the Bamas. Vayomer Yehoash el HaKohanim. Here begins the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was in a state of disrepair. And he's going to make a collection of Shkalim. And this is why this is read as the Haftarah of Parsha Shkalim. He's going to be the inventor of the Pushka. The first big Pushka. He's going to make a box with a hole in it. The first big temple appeal. No, he didn't have to make a Pushka. We'll just learn two of Sukkim. Vayomer Yehoash al HaKohanim. Yehoash said to the Kohanim, Kol Kesef HaKadoshim Asher Yuvah Beit Hashem. Kesef Over. All of the money, the holy money that is brought to the house of God, Kesef Over. Kesef Over is the money of the Matzos HaShekel that is given by Kol HaOver al HaPikudim. Everybody who passes by to be counted. Ish Kesef Nafshot Erko. The money that a person gives, Nafshot Erko. I'll have to explain that to you in more detail next week. It's just fascinating that this right now Daf Yomi is learning Masechet Erechin. Masechet Erechin is really based on a parsha at the end of Sefer Vayikra, where a person can make a donation by saying Erki Alai, my value I will give to the Beit HaMikdash, or I can say that I'm going to give that person's Erech, that person's value. And the Torah lists in Parsha Chukotai, the Torah lists if one is age, sex, and age, what value one has to give. So that was also money that came into the Beit HaMikdash. Kesef, Nafshot, Erko. The word Nafshot and Erko are used there in the Parsha, but we'll discuss it more. Kol Kesef Hashriyala Levish, or any money that it will occur to a person's heart, Lavi Beit Hashem, out of the goodness of his heart, he wants to make a donation. So the king says to the Kohanim, Yikhu lehem ha-kohanim ishmeyet makaro, let the Kohanim take this money from the people whom they know. And in return, in other words, he says, let all the money go to the Kohanim, v'hem yechazku et bedek habayit, they should strengthen the bedek habayit. Bedek habayit, bedek really means wherever there is a... wherever there is damage, they should fix it. L'chol asheyi matzei sham bodek. Wherever there's a crack or there's retifut, he's going to begin the process of restructuring and rebuilding and renovating the Beit HaMikdash. Yemiyat Hashem will continue next week. I wish you and all of Klal Yisrael Mazal Hov and Freilich and Purim. Yes.
Why did he destroy the Bamot before Yehoyada?
All right. I'm very happy that you asked those questions at the end of class so that I have time to think about it.